This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Destiny Pictures presents A Story of Opportunity. A story about a special moment in time when a man is presented with one chance that may never be repeated.
On Tuesday, the 2,500, give or take, journalists in Singapore to witness the big summit were treated to an opening video trailer commissioned by the White House.
Featuring President Donald Trump and Chairman Kim Jong-un in a meeting to remake history. One moment, one choice. What if? The future remains to be written.
Yes, the future does remain to be written, because the 40-minute private meeting, followed by a working lunch of the two national delegations, yielded an agreement that Trump described as comprehensive, but which was less an agreement than a statement agreeing to embark on an agreement at some time in the near future. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo derided the press for asking questions with a degree of moral outrage usually reserved for people who would, for instance, tear a baby from the breast of a nursing mother in a Texas detention center.
So the first question, Mr. Secretary, I wanted to ask you about verifiable and irreversible. The day before you said it's our only objective. It's clear we want that. It's not in the statement. Why is it not in the statement? And the president said, the reporter continues, Secretary Pompeo then interjects, it is in the statement. You're just wrong about that. Question, how is it in the statement? And the exchange goes back and forth, concluding with the secretary saying, because complete encompasses verifiable and irreversible. Let me assure you, it's in that document. He goes on to say, I find the question insulting and ridiculous and frankly ludicrous. I just have to be honest with you. It's a game and one ought not play games with serious matters like this. Of course, we all agree with that. So let's just be clear here on the facts. This is the statement. The word verification simply is not there.
So what happened in Singapore as the cameras clicked and whirred? President Trump saluted a North Korean general. He praised Kim Jong-un's love of his people, referring presumably to the people Kim hasn't jailed or starved or murdered. He spontaneously and unilaterally canceled the military exercises that ensure readiness for regional security, always conscious of the lenses and the lights and loving it all.
Getting a good picture of everybody so we look nice and handsome,
beautiful,
perfect.
Ad-libs, pronouncements, ceremony, self-congratulation. In short, just another day covering Trump, only much farther away and at a far higher cost. All to document a moment of Trump diplomacy that would have been unnecessary if Trump himself had not tweeted us into nuclear confrontation with a ruthless dictator. As that movie promised, the event was full of expectation and undetermined outcomes, a kind of Hollywood thriller come to life. But here's the thing.
Destiny Pictures presents A Story.
The real Hollywood production company, Destiny Pictures, had nothing to do with that trailer. The name, coincidentally it seems, was dreamed up by the National Security Council. The drama was ginned up by a reality TV president. The press showed up to see the dawn of a new relationship. But the show was over. The 3D glasses were dumped in the bin, leaving the public and the press squinting into the cold light of day.
I think, honestly, I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
Los Angeles Times White House correspondent Noah Bierman was among the journalistic multitude in Singapore earlier this week, and he was one of the lucky ones since he was able to report from the summit as a member of the White House press pool.
You know, you're in this large conference center-style hotel, which is somewhat disconcerting in itself because you've got the Disney World-like topiaries, there's Universal Studios as you're driving over to this island, and here they are to talk about nuclear disarmament with a guy who is accused of all sorts of atrocities. So that's all running through your head.
In a place that has human rights problems of its own, Singapore.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody brought chewing gum on the trip there.
Not sure what that means.
They're known for heavy penalties for people who spit chewing gum on the sidewalk.
Oh!
Caning, in fact. But yeah, even those of us who weren't in the main pool, but in the full pool, we did get some very close-up looks at Kim. We were very close up for that signing where we saw some interesting things like a man spending quite a while in special white gloves inspecting the pen that Kim was going to use before signing.
Given his own penchant for poisoning relatives and so forth, that might be a wise thing to do. You were one of the first American journalists to ever lay eyes on him. Did you get anything from the close-up and personal view you may have gotten? I mean, what did you learn?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because we do get a sense of maybe a little bit more normalness of him in the flesh. And some of the Korea experts I spoke with before the trip in my research said that we do have this exotic or mysterious idea of them. And then when they turn out to maybe be funny or smart or practical in person, people get thrown off guard and they end up, in the case of Americans, maybe giving away too much when they negotiate. So you don't want to read too much into the appearance of someone. But we were in several events, including on a balcony across a moat from Trump and Kim. A lot of the restrictions placed on the pool were heavily weighted to have photographers, sound people, still photographers, TV photographers. Those are the ones who were the most allowed the closest views in general. And those of us who spent our time with words were not given as much access. You know, our job fundamentally is to try to hold people accountable. So when you're standing across a balcony with a moat in between you, you got to be able to fire the question off quickly and make sure he can hear it.
In this tape, you can't quite hear Noah asking, quote, Chairman Kim, will you denuclearize? Twice. Then CNN's Jim Acosta asked it louder.
Chairman Kim, will you denuclearize?
Mr. Kim, will you give up your nuclear weapons, sir?
And so I think that was an important witnessing and reporting act that we needed to do, even if in some ways it might be symbolic.
You're challenging someone who's never been challenged, even though you had to be pretty sure you weren't going to get a response.
Pretty sure, but you never know. He seemed excited to be there. We knew the night before he had hit the town. Maybe he wanted to send a message to the world.
He hit the town. What does that mean in terms of somebody who has bodyguards running along the side of his vehicle?
Well, he went to one of the more famous landmarks of Singapore to see it. And that was disconcerting for a lot of people that here's somebody accused of really extensive human rights violations. And when he was wandering around, people were shouting his name and the foreign minister of Singapore was taking selfies with him like he was a celebrity. So I was very conscious of that. But what I was saying was that he was showing a certain amount of engagement and interest in Western culture and in the outside world that is not the North Korean world. So maybe he was interested in sending a message through the American press, or maybe he would answer.
What was the tourist attraction he went to?
He went to the Sands Hotel, interestingly enough, owned by Sheldon Adelson, who's a major Republican donor who helped President Trump get into office.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Noah Bierman covers the White House for the Los Angeles Times.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.